For this Thanksgiving Sunday message, I would invite your attention to the Old Testament and to the book of Habakkuk, the third chapter, and I want to read verses 17 through 19. I would invite you to read along with me in your Bibles or in the Pew Bible found on page 823. Page 823. Will you hear these words? Though the fig tree does not blossom, and no fruit is on the vines, though the produce of the olive fails, and the fields yield no food, though the flocks are cut off from the fold, and there is no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exalt in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He makes me tread upon the heights. To the leader with stringed instruments. This is the word of the Lord, and the people say, thanks be to God. When your prayer includes even though, let us pray. Now, gracious God, let the words of my mouth, the meditation, thoughts, desires of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, gracious God, are our rock and our strength, and our Redeemer. And the people of God say, Amen. It was Richard Baxter who said, I preach as never to preach again, as a dying man to dying men. I feel in many ways that this is what it must have been like to have been a prophet in the Old Testament. For they were not persons to stand on the sideline, to stand above the storm, and to watch what the people were experiencing. Instead, they were in the middle of the storm. In many ways, what they were experiencing was worse than for what the rest of the people, in that they understood what was happening. They understood why the people were suffering. They understood that it was because the people had broken their covenant with God. The old expression, ignorance is bliss, does not apply here. For to be ignorant of God's plan or will, or even worse, to know what God desires, to know what Micah expressed so well, that we ought to love mercy, do justice, and walk kindly and humbly with our God. To ignore these things, the people found themselves under judgment. And God's prophet was right there in the midst of it. Read Habakkuk 1 and 2 and hear the prophet's complaint. How long, O Lord, must I call for help? Violence, but you do not listen. I cry, but you do not save. How long, O Lord? Habakkuk would go on to complain about how the people who were punishing God's people were even worse. And God assures Habakkuk that one day they will suffer. But first they will carry out God's plan. One commentary said, this was a time of oppression, of fear, of persecution, of lawlessness and immorality. It was a difficult time. And I wanted us to hear that because the times in which we are living in right now are a difficult time. No matter where a person may stand on Iraq, the idea of just being at war and the idea of the innocent suffering, especially children, it is painful on all sides. We can't help but wonder. Right now, we can't help but wonder what to expect from day to day. And so we ask, and we wonder, and we search, how do we stand in the midst of all that is going on around us? Habakkuk was able to make his complaint before God. And then he comes back in verses 17 through 19. He acknowledges all that is happening. The fig tree is not producing. There are no crops in the fields. The cattle barns are empty. But listen to Habakkuk as he says, even though all of these things are happening, I will rejoice. I will rejoice. What can lead to this kind of life? You begin with prayer. And somehow it is the prayer life that leads us to know that God is with us. Dwight L. Moody said, I'd rather be able to pray than to be a great preacher. Jesus Christ never taught his disciples how to preach, but he taught them how to pray. We need to pray today. We need to pray knowing that God is present. I came across this definition of prayer that said, convert your thoughts into prayer. Prayer is not only thinking about new things, but prayer as thinking in dialogue. Prayer is a move from self-centered monologue to a conversation with God. We can talk with God about the very things that we don't understand. When life gets caught up and we find ourselves on the run, and really going nowhere, we can pray about it. When we are getting older, and it seems as if seniors are neglected and forgotten, we can pray about it. It was said that prayer is the key that unlocks the storehouses of God's infinite grace and power. All that God is and all that God has is at our disposal when we pray. And so we pray. And when it comes to that moment, and we're able to say, even though, yet, or in spite of, what we are saying is that we will have faith. It is so strange, for there are some things that we really can't see without faith to believe. I wanted us to hear that. There are some things that we really can't see without faith to believe. A town was going through a severe drought, and they asked the pastor to come to a very special town meeting at the town square. They asked the pastor to come to the town, and they invited all to come. And they said they were going to all get together, and the pastor was going to lead them. The pastor was going to lead them in a time of asking God to send the rain. On his way out of the house, the pastor, his son said to him, Pastor, he probably said Dad. He said, Dad, you're on your way to pray for rain. Shouldn't you take your umbrella? There is something about faith. It can create a spirit of expectation. It can create a spirit of anticipation. And so we must be a people of prayer. We must be a people of faith. And it is not the conditions that we will live in that will determine our ability to give thanks. Yesterday, we shared in the time of feeding, and we believe we fed through Thanksgiving baskets some 1,000 people. As I stood and I watched and I listened, you understand that yes, there are people who are hungry. You understand that there are people who are in need. You understand that the very things that it's so easy to take for granted, that people do not have them. Oh, it was important to be able to share. But you realized in sharing just how much you receive. I stood working with one man assembling a basket. He was from Lakewood, and I don't think he had ever done that kind of work before. And he said, you know, our church wanted to come. They had a group of about 10 people there. He said, our church wanted to come because we never get to see this for ourselves. There were also children there. A very precious child, my son, Deshaun, and his very dear and precious friend, Max. Lou brought them down to come and to feed and to serve. And I noticed that when they first got there, they were like, well, here we are. But the more they were putting the things in the baskets, the more I believed it helped them to realize just how much others are in need. Yes, thanksgiving. Yes, a time to give thanks. Yes, a time to recognize that the words of our Christ are still very true today. When I was hungry, you fed me. And yes, a time to realize that conditions around us can never determine whether we are thankful or not. We have so much to be thankful for. So a happy and blessed Thanksgiving. And it is because God is good. God is good. God is good. Praise God today. Amen.